So some of you may be too young to remember this, but there was a show in the late 90s, early 2000s called Breaking the Magician's Code. Anybody remember that? Few people. The show was about a masked magician, later revealed to be Val Valentino, who revealed the secrets behind some of the most famous illusions and magic tricks in the industry. He did 4 seasons of this. It was really cool to see. He revealed like how people were sawed in half and how the people in the box disappeared and how they levitated people, and you got to see all of the things that they did in that. Needless to say, there were a lot of people who made a living as magicians who were not happy that so many of the trade secrets had been revealed. How would y'all like to see a magic trick today and know the secret behind it? So it's the only magic trick I know. I know Mark does better magic tricks than me. But it's my famous coin trick I do with kids. So, you know, you just take the coin and you just throw it. And, oh, wait, it's right here. You know, the trick I learned from my 8th grade science teacher is to hold your hand level to the ground, put your thumb through the hole, look like you're grabbing it, drop it in your hand as you go through, but look like you grabbed it. Simple little trick. They loved it when I did a mission trip in Mexico. I couldn't speak any Spanish, but that was one thing I could do to captivate kids. But there's something about like the mystery of things, too, that captivates us as people, correct? And today we're going to look at this passage that was just read, which is kind of a transitional passage between the sending out of the 72 and the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's kind of sandwiched in between. And when Pastor Mark gave me this passage to preach on, I honestly had no idea how he was going to preach on this. I confess this is a passage I've probably read through multiple times and never took much notice of. But I see some real gems for us here today, some truths that are in these simple 4 verses. And as I said, we all have this natural curiosity to know the inside scoop to things that marvel us and make us stand in awe. When I was a kid, we'd go to Gatlinburg, and I'd love going to Ripley's Believe It or Not. It was always fascinating to see some of those optical illusions and want to know how they worked. So today we're going to be given the opportunity to see some of the secrets to an eternal God that were not known until Jesus shared them. And today I've entitled my message, Sovereign Secrets Revealed. We're going to look at 3 secrets that God wants to kind of let us in on, that should change, hopefully, our perspective on how we live our daily lives. So secret number one is seek simplicity over status. Let me reread these verses again. Verse 21, at that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. Now, I love the beginning of this verse as we get to see Jesus' emotional state prior to his prayer. It says he was filled with joy of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word here is agalion, which means exceedingly joyful. This is not just simple happiness. I want you to think of the greatest joy that you have experienced in your life. Maybe it was the day you walked down the aisle. Maybe it was the day your child was born. Or maybe it was when the Cavs won the championship in 2016. Hopefully, the other 2 things were more joyous, I hope. This is actually, in this scripture passage, this is actually the most exuberant description of Jesus in all of the New Testament. This little verse here. What was the source of that joy? Of course, this makes me curious because the passage right before, there seems to be a little bit of a gentle rebuke of the 72 who were excited about the demons responding to them. And remember, Jesus said, "Do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." In other words, it's not about what you do that should bring you joy, but in what God has done for you and in you. Jesus' joy must have been coming from the excitement of faith, of the 72 returning and seeing God at work. And the excitement of knowing so many more people were getting to receive hope and healing for the first time. As some of you know, I am currently working on my doctorate. It's been a torture. For 6 years, I have been working on this thing. And when I started the journey 6 years ago, it wasn't because I needed another title. I didn't really want to go back to school, but I was going because I felt like it was the next step God wanted me in learning some things. So it wasn't about the degree, though I do joke that my girls, when I'm done, I want them to call me Dr. Daddy. But I've realized as I've gone through this process of going through a doctorate that so many people do so to seek out power and prestige. And I think the longer I have worked on this doctorate, the more I have realized I don't know anything. Matter of fact, it's such an irony that the more you know, the more you realize you don't know, right? You've only scratched the surface of a tiny little topic. And it's so beyond us to understand how God's mind is so much bigger than ours. Now, this isn't to discount education and learning, but, you know, we've all run into those people who are so smart, but they're too smart for their own good. You know what I mean? They can regurgitate all kinds of facts, but they lack the wisdom, and they lack a belief in God who is above it all. And when it becomes about us, we always lose. So Jesus comes, and he's delighted in the fact that those who are hearing him and understanding the gospel, that they have this childlike faith that is grasping such deep things of God. Now in the passage, Jesus says, these things are revealed to little children. So what are these things? It's not clearly spelled out, but it seems inferred that the audience knows. You have to go to Matthew 13, 10 through 11 to actually find that out. And here's what it says. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given." The secrets of the kingdom of God. It is the secrets of the kingdom of God that are revealed to the childlike. The Greek word is nepoi, which is translated simple babies. Which I kind of like that, right? And the wonderful thing about children is that they believe what they hear at face value without complicating it like we do as adults, right? It just popped up on my Facebook feed this morning that 11 years ago, my youngest daughter, Michaela, who is only 4 years old, I posted this because it was such a profound thing. She grabbed me by the face, and she looked me in the eyes, and she said, "Daddy, God made you so special." That's the kind of childlike faith that Jesus is completely delighted with. Jesus came to teach us some great paradoxes of faith. These are the secrets of the kingdom of God. Matthew 23:11, where Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be the greatest should be everyone's servant." Mark 9, verse 35. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last. In Luke 17:33, Jesus said, whoever tries to keep their lives will lose it, and whoever loses their lives will keep it, as Bruce shared. And in 2 Corinthians 12:10 and 13:9, Paul said, when we are weak, we are strong. Do you see the paradoxes? That's why Jesus took delight in it, that people could not understand that. The secret of seeking simplicity over status has confounded people for over two millennia. We hear these phrases from Jesus and we think, that all sounds nice and spiritual, Jesus, but that doesn't really work in the real world. And Jesus is still trying to tell us, yes, it does. It still works. We make faith complicated, but Jesus came to make faith very simple. Look, humanity has a sin problem that keeps us from God, and Jesus has the solution to that problem. That has already been paid for. Accept it, let that gift change you, and don't make it harder than that. It's getting back to the basics. Believe that God is a good God and loves you enough to send his only son for you. Which leads to secret number two in this passage. That is to seek the Savior for access. Verse 22 says, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 22 switches from a verbal prayer to a public didactic on Jesus' relationship to the Father. And by the way, these first two verses are found word for word in Matthew 11:25-27. They're exactly the same in Matthew's gospel, except he concludes not with verses 23 and 24. He concludes by writing, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to hear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, Luke does not include these verses. He focuses on a different set of verses. But verse 22 here specifically wants us to understand that Jesus is our mediator, to reveal God to us. This was the way God always intended for humanity to be able to bridge the gap to the divine. There is no other faith system that has God come in human form to experience humanity in its fullness, to lay down their life, and to be raised to life again. Jesus is that center point. There's a couple passages that talk about how he is our mediator. Hebrews 9:15 says, this is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. John 14:6, probably our most familiar passage, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Hebrews 8:6, that says, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is superior, far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Yesterday, I watched again one of my favorite movies. It's U-571. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you're a World War II movie kind of person, it's a great movie. It's based on the true story of capturing a German U-boat in order to find one of their Enigma machines. Now, this Enigma machine was a typewriter that the Germans used that they would send code with. And it was a clever invention because when you would type a letter, it would type a different letter, and then you would have to have the code book to know how to reinterpret that code. The Americans knew that if they could get a hold of one of these, they would discover the secret of breaking the code and would be able to foil the plans of the Germans and hopefully win the war. Now, as I was thinking through this movie, I realized, you know, Jesus is like that Enigma machine. He's the key to us understanding how God the Father works and how to know God. And here's the thing. We can't miss this. God is offering us free access to that. Free access to that knowledge. And then secret number three in this passage. Seek what is already known. That is the third secret. Verses 23 to 24. Then when they were done, he turned to the disciples and said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it." You can also find these exact words in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 13, 16 through 17. And then there's a little bit of a variation of this when Jesus talks to Peter, after Peter exclaims, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Now, verse 23 to 24, it turns from a public didactic to a very private teaching of Jesus to his close 12 disciples. This is unlikely to refer to the 72, because in all the other places, they're just referred to as the 72 in the scriptures. As a note, my wife had noted that 72 is a division of 12, which comes to 6 as being incomplete. But the other 12, the seventh group, are the disciples here. Because Jesus likes to use numbers, and it's fun, right? Now, Jesus wants the disciples to realize that this incredible privilege, say that a couple times fast, that they had this privilege because they got to experience Jesus walking around and doing his public ministry for these 3 years. That was a privilege. And Jesus wanted to remind them, hey, don't take that as commonplace, that you're getting to experience things that nobody in history has gotten to experience. And we get to look back at that. That is our privilege. We have the access of information of knowing what Jesus did. When that magician, Val Valentino, revealed the secrets to the old optical illusions and magic tricks on his show, you know, he upset a ton of people. They asked him, "Why did you do it? Why did you reveal all these secrets?" And he responded that he felt like the magic community had gotten lazy in coming up with new illusions, and he wanted to spark more creativity. How about us? Have we gotten lazy in our faith and the knowledge of things we already know, and we have the privilege of knowing? Have we lost the awe? In Jesus revealing the secrets of the kingdom of God, he wants us to not forget how revolutionary these truths are for us. They should still marvel us if we try to live them out. Try loving your enemy and see how transformative that is for them and for you. It's no magic trick. but it can definitely transform you into a new person. And though Jesus has revealed lots of secrets of the kingdom of God to us through the scriptures, and I am so, so grateful, there's still a lot of mystery left in God. God has not shown everything to us yet. There are still a lot of mysteries we don't fully grasp. Here's a couple of them. They come up regularly in my work as a chaplain. Why do good people suffer? And why do evil people seem to prosper? Why do some people have it much harder in life than other people? What is heaven going to be fully like? Why do babies have to die? You know, I don't have the answers. Some things are still a mystery. But I take comfort in Deuteronomy 29:29. And we're wrapping up now. And it says this: "The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions." So seek simplicity over success in your life. Seek the Savior for access, and seek what's already known. Everything else, leave in the hands of God. If we had to know everything, God would have already told us. There's still a need for faith, which is defined in Hebrews as the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So let us not lose the awe and wonder of our faith in our age of instant information. May we, like Jesus, take immense joy in all that has already been shared with us to live a full and meaningful life. Would you pray with me? God, we're so grateful. We're grateful that we, as limited in our understanding, that you love us and have chosen to share these secrets with us. God, may you transform us this week. Help us declutter the things in our life that we have allowed in to make faith more complicated than it needs to be. Help us to trust you in the things that we can't understand. And help us take hope and peace from you that you are a good God and you love us so incredibly much. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.